Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9 The Game, Chris Goforth on this Sunday morning. Glad to be hanging out with you and glad to head out on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Welcome in our friend Clayton Truter. Clayton joins us to talk a little bit about the kind of the history of professional sports here in Atlanta. He's got a book out. It's called Loserville, How Atlanta Sports Professional Sports Remade Atlanta and How Atlanta Remade Professional Sports. Clayton, Loserville, kind of a negative title. Where does that come from?
Well, first of all, Chris, thanks for having me on. The title Loserville comes from a series of columns by Louis Grizzard in the Atlanta Constitution in July 1975. He's looking back at a decade of Atlanta pro sports. You have the Braves and Falcons come in at 66 to Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. You have the Hawks come in at 68. The Flames come in 72, and they both end up at the Omni Coliseum. And he's looking back at a decade of futility, both on the field and at the box office. When those teams got to Atlanta, there was all these expectations that the teams would be highly successful, that they would be the source of civic unity, a tie that would bind people together. But it didn't quite happen that way initially. Eventually, these things end up transpiring. But a decade out from Atlanta becoming an expansion city, it didn't look especially promising, especially when there were all these grand expectations initially. I think in many ways, Loserville is the story of the first true expansion sports city. You'd had teams obviously relocate to the West Coast with the Dodgers and Giants before. You had pro football on the West Coast at that time too, but never had a city gone from having zero pro sports teams to teams in all four major leagues as quickly as Atlanta did. And Atlanta did so by rolling out the red carpet to the major pro sports leagues and making offers of public investment in those two facilities. So Atlanta paved the path that many other cities have followed to becoming big league. But many of the shortcomings that ended up happening to Atlanta were found in other cities, too, that got so many teams so quickly and proved tough to digest.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, you know, Atlanta kind of the first southern city to get a professional sports franchise, and not just one, but all four, all within a matter of a couple of years. In hindsight now, was it too much too soon for the city? You talk about the Louis Grizzard article and the struggles through the first decade or so those teams were here. Was it just a case of too much too soon?
I think so. But in defense of the civic leaders, Ivan Allen and Arthur Montgomery and Tom Cousins and that generation of leaders, they had no precedent to work from. They really didn't know what to expect. You had this rapidly growing city that was looking for cultural amenities that other big cities had, and they got them very quickly by making this pattern of investments, by luring them in the same way they would have tried to lure a factory or a branch plant of a large corporation. So they were incredibly successful in getting the teams. But I think it proved a lot harder to digest than people expected. People only have so much time. They only have so much discretionary income. You have a city with a lot of newcomers and a city with a lot of people who had been there for generations but had their already pre-existing sporting passions, whether it was golf or boating or tennis or stock car racing or college football or wrestling. There were a wide range of local attractions already before the big leagues ever got to town. And people didn't just stop embracing them because there were suddenly teams with Atlanta across their chest in the city.
Clayton Truter, our guest here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. His book is called Loserville, How Professional Sports Remade Atlanta and How Atlanta Remade Professional Sports. The way Atlanta went about courting, in particular, courting the Braves and getting them to come here, it's very similar to the way teams do it today. Was that a common theme in professional sports in the mid-60s?
that has sort of just started trickling around, that kind of approach. I think in particular what Atlanta had was, Atlanta had done such a great job from the 1920s onward with the Forward Atlanta Business Campaign at convincing people that Atlanta was a business-friendly place to work, a comfortable place to relocate your business. So they took that approach to trying to lure pro sports as well. And when the big league started looking at Atlanta, they saw all these states without pro sports around them that were also growing. And Atlanta, they saw as being the hub of this massive new 7 or 8 state media market. So if you're the Milwaukee Braves, you're hemmed into the South by the Chicago markets. You're all of a sudden hemmed into the North by the Minnesota Twins, who are going to take away some of your affiliates in Minnesota and Iowa, and even in northern Wisconsin. And they said, let's go to this entirely untapped territory. I mean, baseball was obviously popular down there with the Crackers and minor league baseball, and there was baseball on the radio from different big league cities there. It seemed like a fantastic opportunity. So when Atlanta showed interest in becoming big league, it proved a very excellent marriage of convenience between the Braves ownership and then the city of Atlanta.
So who deserves the credit, Clayton, for bringing professional sports to Atlanta?
If you just build it around one person, it would certainly be Ivan Allen. When he runs for mayor in 1961, he has a new Forward Atlanta campaign, building off his father's previous one from the 1920s. And one of the major planks of it was Major League City. He envisioned Atlanta becoming a peer of Los Angeles and New York and Chicago by having big league teams. He saw big league sports as this luxury that a city like Atlanta deserved if it was going to become a major economic hub. He saw it as a source of prestige for the city, and he also saw it as a source of civic unity. Atlanta had cultural divisions, it had racial divisions, it had divisions between city and suburb, and he viewed it as something that everybody could gather around it and cheer on together. So he saw it serving these significant cultural purposes beyond merely people wanting to be able to watch big league sports.
Obviously, the NHL is no longer here. Has Atlanta ever been in danger of losing the Braves or the Falcons or the Hawks?
There was a time in the mid-1970s when all three were possible, particularly with the Hawks, when Tom Cousins owned both the Hawks and the Flames. The Flames leave town in part because he gets a great offer from some Alberta oilmen, and they end up relocating. In terms of the Hawks, he's able to find a local buyer with Ted Turner, who they become affordable programming for his emerging television empire. So that was certainly a possibility. Cousins had trouble finding a local buyer for the hockey team. He certainly offered it around, but couldn't find someone to really take it on. That certainly wasn't Cousins' intention to get rid of that team, but he just couldn't find the appropriate person to buy it. The Braves were strongly considering moving in 1975. There was talk of Toronto. There was talk of splitting games with New Orleans. There was talk of Seattle. And when one looks at Seattle and Toronto, those are the next two American League expansion cities. So those cities were certainly vying to become big league. It was a serious thing. Ted Turner steps in there, buys the Braves as well, essentially for the same concept as buying the Hawks. He was already broadcasting a lot of the Braves games on WTCG, which evolves into WTBS. But yeah, I mean, having Turner step in saves that team for the city. And from almost day one with the Falcons, Rankin Smith's organization is unhappy with the arrangement at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. They saw themselves as being second-class citizens. If you look at the late 70s, they end up building a headquarters many miles from Atlanta Stadium as a way of having a space of their own, and eventually end up getting their own stadium. I think that's what ends up saving the Falcons for Atlanta, the willingness of the city and county to end up financing that that new facility. So I think it was a distinct possibility in the past. I think the ownership has just gotten a lot stronger in each case with those teams over time, that they've also developed a much stronger body of support, each of these organizations, over their decades in the city.
You know, it's interesting, Clayton. I have long said I think Ted Turner belongs in the Baseball Hall of Fame because of what he was able to do with the Braves and TBS. But, you know, the way listening to you, it's like, if it wasn't for Ted Turner, we might could have lost both the Hawks and the Braves at one point in time in the 70s.
Yeah, I'd put him in the Basketball and the Baseball Hall of Fame. I think he's a major figure, not only in the culture of television, but also in the culture of pro sports, and plays a huge role in nationalizing the appeal of many of these teams. I think to some extent, the kind of national television coverage that a lot of these sports, other than the NFL, have developed is invented by Turner in the 70s and 80s as he's experimenting with TBS.
Clayton Treutor, our guest, his book is called Loserville, How Professional Sports Remade Atlanta and How Atlanta Remade Professional Sports. It is out. It is available now. You can find it on the newsstand, the bookstore. You can find it online, wherever you want to pick a copy up. You got a beach trip coming up later on this summer. Might be a great thing to pick up and take to the beach with you if you want to learn a little more. It's a really kind of a behind-the-scenes look of how Atlanta got professional sports, how that came to be here. How important, Clayton, was Hank Aaron in those early days with the Braves here in this city?
I think even before the Braves actually move, Aaron has a profound influence on the history of baseball in Atlanta, because initially he and several of the black players on the Milwaukee Braves were hesitant to move to Atlanta. Some of them were from the South, including Aaron being from Alabama. He was not excited at the prospect of moving back to the South, but he'd had a very prestigious social role in Milwaukee, had been treated very well there. In January 1965, not long after the announcement that the Braves were planning to move to Atlanta, the city leadership, black and white city leadership, puts on a highly publicized tour of the city for Aaron. Leaders like Leroy Johnson in the Georgia State Senate, leaders from the Urban League, Robert Woodruff from Coke, Ivan Allen, people from the NAACP, they all meet with Aaron and say, Atlanta is not Alabama. Atlanta is a progressive oasis in the region. This is a desegregated city. You will enjoy a status like you have in Milwaukee. And very quickly, Aaron votes with his dollars. He chooses to buy a beautiful new home in Southeast Atlanta and shows people that this is a city that I'm comfortable moving to. And really, any of those concerns were concerns disappeared among the players on the Milwaukee Braves about what they would expect in Atlanta, that it was very different from much of the other parts of the South in that time period.
There is a huge transplant population here. I've joked before, nobody's actually from here. Everybody just moves here. Not everybody grew up in the South or grew up following these teams. What's the impact? What kind of impact, I guess, has that had on the sports teams in this city?
Well, I think from day one of Atlanta becoming a major league city, you have a significant number of fans with affiliations from outside the regions. To this day, you go to a game and see plenty of New York or Boston or Chicago or Detroit shirts when they're playing, when Atlanta teams are playing teams from those cities. I think part of the issue is it leads to a more, I guess, consumer-like relationship with the teams, as opposed to treating them as this storied local institution. If you're a fan from New York, your dad took you to Yankees games, his dad took him to Yankees games, and his dad before him took him to the Yankees games. You're in Philadelphia, Boston, Chicago, the same thing. With Atlanta, with these brand new teams, you didn't have the same ties that bound people to these organizations. And over the decades, that's developed a bit regionally, but I still think it has a bit different feel than these teams that were there, you know, back into the early 20th century. I think Atlanta fans have a bit of a wait-and-see attitude because of it. We'll see how good the teams are, and then we will embrace them to a much greater extent than the fan bases of the pro sports teams in other cities. I think the loyalties fans have to other sports are a lot more along, particularly college football, is much closer to the kind of ties that people have to pro sports in the Northeast. I would say from day one, there was also this tendency of Atlanta fans to be interested in seeing an attraction, even if they didn't want to go see a team all the time. For example, in the Braves' first season in 1966, the best drawing game of the year was Sandy Koufax's only pitching appearance in Atlanta. They drew 53,000 people to Atlanta Fulton County Stadium.
Yeah.
The next night, there were 5,000 people at the game. So it was really people going because they wanted to see Sandy Koufax. When Dr. J made his first appearance at the Omni, they had a full house for the Hawks. The Hawks were drawing peanuts at that time during the 75-76 season. The next night, the Hawks had like 1,400 people in the stands. So people are willing to go pay good money to go see an attraction, even if they didn't want to night after night follow a team. I think that's changed a bit, but in the early years, that was the tendency. The 1969 pennant race with the Braves even had that feel. If you look at the articles from the Journal and the Constitution in September 69, you have the Cubs who were competing for a division championship in the NL East. There were tons of Chicago fans in the stands every night, and they weren't fans who'd come from Chicago. Many of them were locals who had grown up Cubs fans, were now in Atlanta because their family had transplanted, and were there cheering on the team. in the actual National League Championship Series, the same thing. They're playing the Mets. There's tons of Mets fans at the games, but they weren't all people who had flown down from New York. Many of them were New York transplants who are now living in metropolitan Atlanta. So I think that tendency has happened from day one in the city and has been a tough thing for the teams to deal with in many respects.
Clayton, I got about 30 seconds and we got to wrap, but real quick, how important is professional wrestling in Atlanta sports history?
All of the things the city leaders talked about with pro sports, it being a center of gravity, a meeting place, the Omni meaning all of those things they aspired to with the arenas and stadiums they built, pro wrestling was giving to the city from the time it started in the 1940s at the Warren Arena. It was something that brought people together, black, white, men, women, young and old, could go cheer on people together. From the early 1960s, you have integrated seating at wrestling. You have black performers, white performers. The vision Allen had for the city was already happening at pro wrestling events long before it happened with the big leagues.
Clayton, appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Book's called Loserville. Check it out, how professional sports remade Atlanta and how Atlanta remade professional sports. Clayton, appreciate it, my man. We'll talk to you again.
Okay, thank you so much. Great price on the book on Amazon right now if you're interested.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.